pray for me.
Amen. I've had a little problem with my eyes, but been to about 3 good specialists, and none of them can find the problem exactly.
Had a little glaucoma in
my eyes. I inherited that from my mother, but they've been treating that about a year. That's not the problem. One fella checked in my sugar in my glimico, I believe that's the word for it. Not in your blood. Sugar in my blood was all right. But the other sugar was 6 points. That's what it's supposed to be. Mine was 7. My cholesterol was right on the borderline, but not high. And I've been on Plavix, which took me off of that. Had a little blood in my eyes. And a doctor in Erlanger Hospital, specialist, he said, now, you take aspirin? I said, yeah, 81 milligram a day. He said, aspirin won't do it. They found a couple broken blood vessels in my eye. They said, Plavix won't do it, but 7. But if you take them both together, over several years, he said, that can do it. The Plavix will do it. He said, let's take you off of the Plavix. Put you on the aspirin, but yeah, bring it up to an aspirin a day. They won't hurt me. I said, no. That hadn't stopped me. I don't know whether the sugar in my hemoglobin's not down or not. But I had it about 2 years ago. Not just why I had it last year, but it didn't. 2 years ago, I'd had about 4 or 5 months when Brother Hurt's funeral was. I just began to have it a little. And I can drive in daytime. I don't have any problem. I don't drive too much at night. The lights kind of, the glare in the lights makes a difference. In the daytime, when it's not, when the sun is not shining, if that glare comes down from the sky, see a little double vision at times. I can pull that sunshade down, give me about that much. It cuts it all out. Never had nothing like it. I've been praying about it, and I hope and pray the Lord will take it away. I'm going to do all I can to help him. All right. I've said enough about that. If you have your Bibles tonight, open them to Mark chapter 2. Chapter 11. Excuse me. Mark chapter 11. I want to read you some scripture tonight, a little bit. And this is about when Jesus was going to Jerusalem. And he sent his 2 disciples over after a colt tied. Now, I want to say a thing or two by way of introduction before I get on that colt much. But I want to use that colt as a type of a center. Tonight, a little while. You know, there's one interpretation of the Bible, but you can apply it different ways. Yeah. All right. If you have your Bibles and you got them open to Mark chapter 11, let me read a few verses. I'll try to read the best I can. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth 2 of his disciples, and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door, without, in a place where 2 ways met, and they loosed it. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye? Loosen the colt. And they said unto them, even as Jesus hath commanded. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus. Yeah. And notice it says they cast their garments on him, and he sat up upon the colt, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off of the trees and strode them in the way. I'm going to stop right there. That'll be enough reading. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we love you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here in the camp meeting. Now, Father, I've enjoyed it all. Good preaching, good singing, good fellowship, good friendliness, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the moving of the Spirit of God in the singing, in the preaching, and everything. And Lord, tonight, I don't want to get up here and say anything that might hurt anything. But Lord, I pray that we'll preach the word in such a way that the Holy Ghost can take it and use it. And you can take it and move upon the hearts. Put your power, your liberty in it, Lord. We need that. Not that man would be lifted up and glorified, but Lord, that the word may go forth and find a lodging place in hearts, Father. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to mention two things about his. One about the riding a colt. If you have your Bibles, open them to Zechariah 9:9. And I want you to notice something. This is about when he went into Jerusalem this time. But that's not the only time he's going to ride an animal into Jerusalem. This time, notice what he said in Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Now, I want to stop right there. When Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, he wanted him to go up yonder and get that colt. He wanted to ride him into Jerusalem. Now, during this time, the feast days, it was custom that Pilate and them would release one unto them. So who did they have to release? They had Jesus and they had Barabbas. And Pilate said, and he found no fault in Jesus, but he said, which one of ye will I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Barabbas was a criminal. He's a thief, maybe a liar, murderer, and so forth. Well, he's probably due to die. I mean, if you'd been to court today, they'd have had a long sentence or killed him one. Yeah. And they said, release Barabbas, but crucify Jesus. Yeah. Well, in the mind of God, God sent the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus came. Yeah. He's God wrapped up in the flesh. And why did he come? Why did he come? He come to seek and to save that which is lost. He come that man might be saved. When he died for all the sins of the world. Not just one, but all of them, brother. I don't care if he's a German, Russia, black man, white man, red man, Chinese man, German man. It don't make no difference. When the Son of God died, he died for all of them. Now then, he's on his way into Jerusalem. And they said, release Barabbas and crucify Jesus. And Pilate's wife came to him and said, have nothing to do with him. Said, I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Amen. But did he do that? No. They said, release Barabbas and crucify Jesus. So they let him take him and they crucified. Now, I'm not going to get on the crucifixion tonight. That's real good preaching. Not so much. I'll hit it some. I want to stop back and get this coat. But listen, the last time he rides one, it's not in the rapture. When he comes in the rapture, after us, we're all a going that are saved. Those that's already died and gone on, why, he'll bring their souls and spirits out of heaven
unite with the glorified body, and the living saints will be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, and will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be the Lord. But 7 years after that, when the seventh week of Daniel is completed, he'll come out of heaven riding a white horse. I was preaching and hit that one time in a meeting. It was with Brother Wilbur Hurt. And I mean the house was packed that night. I think the last service. And I had him coming out, and the saints of God are riding white horses. And we're about to going up, but he said the army's following on white horses when they come back. And the service was pretty good. We're going pretty good. One lady come to me after the service, and she said, "Lord, preacher," said, "I'm going to be left out." I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "I never learned to ride a horse down here, and I won't make it." I said, "Honey, you don't have a thing to worry about. He's going to fix you up in the rapture." I said, "And when you get that glorified body, you'll be able to mount him in the air." So that's when he's coming back the last time. And they said away with him the first time, but when he comes the last time, brother, he's going to put the beast and the false prophet in the lake of fire between the devil in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and every nation that's fought against Israel will meet in the valley of Jezreel. Yeah. And you know what Zechariah says? He said, "All the people of the earth will be in there." Yeah. Mm. Yes,
where's the United States? United States never had a president go against the gene. And I was talking to old Brother A.C. and I were talking. And I'll tell you something, fellas. Whenever the rapture takes place and you take all the saints of God out of every nation, how's it going to be then? Yeah. Talking about Obama, and some asked me, said, "Is Obama the Antichrist?" I said, "No, he's no Antichrist." I said, "For two reasons. One is he's mad, and the Antichrist will have no desire for women." I said, "And another is the Antichrist to be a Jew, and he's not a Jew." Some of you might not agree with that, but you check Revelation chapter 11, and you start about the 26th and 36th verse, and you get up to about the 35th verse, and it says this: "He disregards the God of his fathers." Right. Yeah. Who's the fathers of the Jews? "In Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob shall thy seed be called." Yeah, that's right. When the rich man went to hell, he looked across into paradise, and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. You know what he said? He said, "Father Abraham." That makes a Jew out of it. He's a Jew. You say, "Do you went to hell?" Yes, they do, if you don't get saved. Yeah. Yes, sir. And when Moses was at the burning bush, and I'll get back to this in a minute. You know what God said to Moses when he stepped aside to see it? "Moses, take off thy shoes off thy feet, for this place whereon thou standest is holy ground."
Holy.
And he identified himself to Moses. He said, "Moses, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, yeah, and the God of Jacob."
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And you follow that, the God of the fathers. He disregarded the God of his fathers. What's he make out of it? He's a Jew. He will be a Jew. He won't be revealed till you get to the churches taken out. All right. Let's get back here. Let's get back here. Let's get back on this here code a little while. There's some pretty good preaching, I believe, if the Lord turned us loose here and shoot a little while on this coat. Notice something. God sent two disciples over yonder to get him. Told him just where he'd be. Said he'd be at the point of two ways. Yeah. Did you know that's where the sinner is? Yeah. A lot of them. Those that are in the service and under conviction a little, and the Spirit of God are dealing with them, they can think about getting saved, but they can think about that life in sin.
Yes.
Moses was at the point of two ways.
Yeah.
He could see Pharaoh and the king's palace and all of that riches.
Yeah.
One way. But the other way, he could see God's people.
Yeah.
and the suffering that you had. But he said he esteemed that the riches of Christ was greater than all the riches of Pharaoh.
Yes.
And he chose through faith. This coat was at this point of two ways. And Jesus said, go get it. Go get it. And it took two to get that coat. You know, he said that coat is tied. He's tied down. He's like a sinner that's tied down in his sin.
Yes, yes.
If you could get him cut loose from his sin, a lot of times you get him saved.
Yes, yes.
But oh, somebody's going to hug that sin and drink that booze and play that poking over and hang on to that sin till they take that last breath. And if that happens, you know where they're going? They're going to hell as straight as a mud never went to his home.
Yes,
that's right. That's where they're going. Say, preacher, you ought to talk like, I know, well, just let them go and go on and go to hell. No, no, no. People don't like for you, they don't like for you to hear that. But here's the thing of it. Suppose you go down the road and you knew this family up there in the house, about three or four in it, and the house was on fire, just caught on fire, and they're asleep. And you're a child of God. You're going to go by and say, well, don't want to be woke up. No, you're going to knock on the door, beat on the door if necessary, you'll knock a window out. Said, hey, get up in there, your house is on fire.
Yeah.
But when it comes to preaching a hot message on hell, we don't hear that.
Yes,
you're
right.
I'm going to tell you right now, where Jesus said more about hell in a few words than I could say, and you can say in a lot of words.
Yeah.
He said about hell, it'd be better to have your hand cut off. If it's offending you, and you get saved one time. For hell's the place where the worm dies, not the fire's not quenched. And then he got the eye, I may not get him in the right rotation. And he said, it'd be better for you to have one eye plucked out. That's deep if you can get saved. And get saved and enter into life maimed. It would be to have two eyes. And you got the foot. And it'd be better for you to have one foot cut off on a chopping block. If that would keep you from getting saved. Why? With the hand, you work. If you're doing any kind of work, it'll keep you from getting saved. It'd be better to lose one hand. It would be to die and go to hell. The eye's what you see with. The foot's what you walk with. If you're doing anything or going anywhere or looking at anything, that will keep you from coming to Jesus Christ. He said it'd be better for you to have your eye plucked down and have your foot cut off and have your hand cut off and enter into life, man, than it would be to have all two of them on all of it and die and go to hell. On the other hand, you don't have to do that. You humble yourself and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him as your Savior. You don't have to do that. He said, run to go to hell would be better than that. So notice, that coat was tied down. He said, go get it. Then both boys went over. And I won't tell you, he's got two that he sends after. He's got two that cuts them loose. He may send two or three men or women or so forth, but the two I'm talking about is the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. Brother, I don't care how deep in sin he is, if you pray for him and preach that book to him right and witness to him right, brother, and then spend some time in prayer and the church gets on the knee, God can reach down and trouble that old boy and save him. Amen. Amen. I drove 400 miles to win a nephew. He had cancer. Church member. Max Offer, brother about 6 years old when I was, is his youngest son. I went down there when I heard he had cancer. God burned my heart. He was in Asheboro, North Carolina. And from Trenton, Georgia, to where I was born and raised about 400 miles. That's out of Burlington, a little Greensboro. And I told my daughter, I said, I'll be gone a few days. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to down to Burlington, get my youngest brother, and we're going to Ashburn. I said, I don't know. I've never talked to Mike. Don't know whether he's saved or not. In fact, they lived down there, and I hadn't talked to either one of the three boys. So I went down there. And he had cancer so bad, he come in there at his mama's house. He lived about 6 miles from me. And he said,
I'm going in here to lay down on the bed. Went in there, and a few minutes I told his mother, Lois. I said, Lois, I'm going in here and talk to Michael. She said, okay. I went in there and I said, Mike, I said, Uncle Bill, let's talk to you. I said, will it be all right? He said, yeah. All right. I said, I want to ask you something, Mike. I said, you ever been saved? He said, yeah. I said, you have? I said, yeah. I said, Mike, let me, I didn't stop him. I said, let me ask you one more question, or another question too. I said, Mike, if you died tonight, I said, I hope you don't, hope you live a good time. But if you do you know you'll go to heaven? He said, no, I don't know what to do. I knew right then. I knew right then he didn't have what I had. I talked to him. I said, Mike, I said, you know, let me explain something to you. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, if you don't know, you'll go to heaven if you die. You say, can you know? I said, yeah, you can know. I said, it's our business to know. People say, you can't know before you die. You better know before you die. Bless God, I know where I'm going when I die. I told him down there, I said, hey, if I don't get back here and go into heaven, I said, I'm going to glory. I'm just as sure of that as if I was walking down the street and kicking up a little gold. That's how sure I am. I said, Mike, do you want to die like that? I said, I've explained to you how you can get saved and how you can get born in the family of God. And Jesus said, we can know that we have eternal life. But these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that ye may know that you have eternal life. Don't let the devil's crowd tell you can't know. I said, would you like to know? He said, yes, I would. So I explained the plan of salvation to him, how God loved him and how Christ came into this world and died for him, for his sins, and how he was buried and rose again the third day. And I said, Mike, in order for you to get saved, we're going to have to turn to Luke 19:10 and get you lost. You cannot hang on to a false profession that does not give you the assurance that you have eternal life. I flipped over on Luke 19:10 and I read it to him. I said, Mike, the Bible said, Jesus said, for the Son of Man is come. That means he was somewhere before he got here. Where was he? He's in heaven. And why did he come? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And a lost church member, brother, it's hard to get them to see themselves lost. They don't know they're going to heaven, a lot of them, but they're going to have to know it. And brother, that they got isn't worth a dime. Any religion you got isn't worth a dime if they won't take you to heaven, brother, and take you through the pearly gates. As one old fellow said, trade it off for a hound dog and shoot him. It ain't no count. You don't have to do that. No, you just don't have to do that. But it's a hard time, a hard thing to get them to see themselves lost, like Luke 19 says. I told him, I said, Mike, I read it to him. I said, Jesus wants to save you, son. He wants you to have it. I said, are you willing to see yourself lost? I mean, do you willing to admit you're lost? And ask Jesus come in your heart and see you? He said, yes, I am, Uncle Bill. So, boy, I told him, I read it to him. I said, Mike, ask the Lord. Come in your heart. Have mercy on you. Come in your heart. Forgive you. Save you. I said, don't try to name sin. People try to name part of the sin. You're wasting your time. Huh? You can't name part. You can't confess part of your sin and salvation gets saved. All of y'all might not agree with that, huh? I'm going to tell you why. If you've been a drunk, you're not going to remember all the drinks of liquor you took. You're going to confess what you remember, and he's going to forgive you for them half and let you get saved and be in sin on the other half? No. And if you've been a liar, you're not going to remember all the times you've lied. And if you played poker, you're not going to remember all the games that you played poker in. So when you come to get saved, you just go have to see yourself lost. Yeah. Realize, Lord, I can't do it. I'm lost. I'm going to hell if you don't save me. Lord, have mercy upon me and forgive me and save me. Yeah. Oh, Mike done that day, boy. Tears rolling down his cheek. Yeah. He got saved, and when I left there, he knew he was on the way to heaven. The next week, his brother died. Little brother. He was sickly, had, I forget what he had, cancer or something. I didn't get to go to his funeral.
But Mike had a 19-year-old daughter. And, yeah, I did go to that one, too. I didn't get to go to Mike's and led his 19-year-old daughter to the Lord. But 2 weeks later, Mike died. That's cutting it close, brother.
Yep.
And that's when I didn't get to go right there. But I said that to say this. The Word and the Holy Ghost will cut him loose. Go get the coat, boys. He's tied down over yonder. Go get that sinner. He's tied down in his sin. Well, preacher, he played poker and been a drunkard a long time. Ain't nobody going to win him. How do you know? How do you know? Well, preacher, that woman over yonder, I might tell some of you ladies, that woman over yonder, she's been married several times and shacking up with him. What about the woman in the 4th chapter of John? Jesus didn't pass by. The Jews had been doing that. Going up the opposite side of the river of Jordan and to get to Galilee and cross back over and miss Samaria. But Jesus put Samaria in the Great Commission. And Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. And he went through Samaria and he got at the well over there. And brother, here come that woman over there. And I've been there. I've noticed it. But it, you don't see all the town. But I don't know. After five minutes that road up yonder, probably, you can see the houses over in here. And they go back down behind the hill in there. The hill. I don't know how big a town it is. But there's a path comes out. Must have been Jacob's well. It must have been a community well. Jesus was sitting on that well.
Yeah.
And here come that woman.
Well.
You know what I said to her? I said, give me a drink of water. She said, how is it? You ask him a drink of a genie. Said the well's, and he said, if you knew it was who asked, you'd give him a drink. She said, the well's deep, and it is. I've looked down in it. The windlass is full. And you have nothing to draw. He said, if you knew it was who asked you of that, you would ask him, who told you that, you would ask him of a drink. She said, the well's deep, you have nothing to draw. He said, you can drink this water and thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst neither come here to draw. She said, give me that water. Now, I like the way Jesus dealt with it. You know, you can make one mad and you're witnessing to him and you won't win him or her. Jesus said, go get your husband. How did he know that? Here's what I like. He said, that is well spoken. He didn't stop. But thou hast had five. And he who you now have, or who you living with, is not thine husband. Did he read her Bible? She said, well, you must be a prophet. Kept talking to him. We know the Messiah will tell us when he comes. He said, I'll speak it unto thee and him. But here's what I want you to see. She got saved and went back into it.
Amen.
To all the men. You talk about cutting the coats loose or bringing them to Jesus. Come and see a man told me all ever I did. Is not this the Christ?
Yeah.
And in John 4:39, the scripture says this. Many of the Samaritans believed on Christ for the saying of the woman which testified. Come and see a man told me all that ever I did. Makes no difference how much they tied down in sin. He can cut them loose. He can cut them loose. Notice something else about this coat. Not only did he say bring the coat is undelivered. Back in the Old Testament, the coats, the first thing of an ass had to be redeemed by a lamb. In Exodus 13:13, when you come into the land. If you don't redeem him by a lamb, break his neck, you'll die. That's kind of a picture of a lost man, isn't it? I mean, if you don't get boned again, well, it's in the blood, he'll die and go to hell. Yeah. But notice, let's get something else. Not only was he unloosened, he was undelivered. Jesus said, bring him hither. Bring him here. Yeah. Said, if you come out and say anything, said, you tell him that Jesus
So the Lord had need of it. And said, they let you come. So they came out, and so you do loosen the coat. He said, Jesus commanded us to loosen this coat. They let him go, brother. I will say something to you right here. You might say, preacher, I'm lost. Hey, Jesus can use you if you come to him and you're saved.
Yeah.
Tell him that the Lord had need of this coat.
Yeah.
He's undelivered. When you bring him to Christ, he delivers you from the past sins. He'll keep you from getting wrapped up in the present sin. And one day, he'll take you out of here, of the practice of sin. One day, he'll deliver you from the presence of sin.
That's right.
So, he's undelivered. Notice something else. He's untamed. Or unbroken. You know when they got him over there, Jesus? And I was reading this. I mean, I had just been called to preach not too long, maybe 2 or 3 years. Studying one morning, my wife was in the kitchen. And she and I would study some together. We didn't know too much about the Bible then. Don't know too much now. But know a little more now than did then. Of course, my wife's dead. Been dead 3 years. Or about 9 years. She died in 99. And I was reading that. And I said, honey, come here. She came to the door. I said, honey, I want to ask you a question. She's been saved. I said, now, we have raised colts on the farm. My dad, I grew up on the farm. And I said, if you get one and he's old enough to break, and you put the bridle on him and a saddle on his back or something on his back and call up on him, I said, he'll buck the hat off your head.
Yes,
you got a rodeo, brother, for a little while. I said, but when they got him over to Jesus, they throwed the leaves or blanket something on his back, and Jesus got on him. And they cut off limb and threw them down in there on the path of the road going into Jerusalem. I figured Jesus said, get up, boy. And they hollered, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of God. Whoever saw anybody ride a coat like that, bless God, never a man sat on and him not buckle it.
Yeah.
I said, I never seen anybody ride a coat like that. And him not buckle it. And I was reading one day, I was learning some things in the Bible. I was reading one day over in John 1. How Jesus said that everything was made by him. Every good thing that's made was made by him. I said, hey honey, come here. I said, here's the reason that coat didn't buckle it. I said, the one that made him, bless God, was on his back. He would ride him into Jerusalem.
Yes, sir.
He rode him into Jerusalem. I'll tell you right now, I don't care, you may be down in sin deep, your home may be bursting, may be broke something, but you get Jesus on the scene and in your heart, and he can tame things.
Yes.
He can get things right.
Amen.
I won't... of course, you wouldn't know him here, but there's a man got saved and called a priest. In the church I got saved and called a priest. Back before I did, he's an older man than I was. Couldn't read nor write. But when he got saved, he told me, and the Lord called him to preach right after. He told me one day, he said, Brother Bill, he said, I had a bad woman's diamond ring in my pocket when I got saved. I said, you still got it in that pocket? He said, yeah. I said, you mail that thing back to her and say nothing to nobody. I said, if you don't for her, I'm going to find out, I will shoot you. And I said, you mean business with God? I said, all that food and all that sin is over with. He mailed her back, bud. Couldn't read nor write. And my mama and daddy never knew that. I didn't tell them. And he came out of the house, and my mama, outside, just country folks. And she told him one day, said, Clarence said, can you read? Clarence said, no, I can't read nor write. She said, I'll tell you what you do. If you come out here, I'll get a hold of a first grade reading book and a blueback speller. And we'll sit here on the porch. I'll sit right here beside of you. And she sat over there. I don't know how old she was then. Probably 50 years old.
Clarence something, maybe not quite 50. I was 26, let's call it. I expect she was 50, 55. So he did that. And when I was home last week, my brother's brother said, Billy said, do you know how Clarence Six learned to read? I said, no, I don't know how. Why? Said our mother, said, told him if he'd come out there and spend 2 or 3 days a week, not a whole day, but an hour or two, they sat on the porch out there, and she took a reading book and taught him how to read, like reading the first grade.
Amen.
And he learned how to read.
Amen.
And he made a pretty good preacher. And she gave him some spelling lessons, and he learned how to spell. Brother, and he done a pretty good work for God. You know how he got saved? He went to church that day and heard the preaching, brother, and we'd been witnessing to him. I hadn't invited him to church. And he started out to get in the car, and brother, he couldn't get in the car. He didn't make it to the car. He fell on the Holy Ghost conviction, brother, and fell down to back bumper of the car, squalling, and they sent and got the preacher and come out there and led him to God right there.
Amen.
Tied down in his sin, but God delivered him. Deliver him. Give him a job to do. They do more for God when they're loose in serving God. Then it can't tie down some sin somewhere. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. So, that coat was unloosened, and you loosened by the Holy Spirit, the power of God, washed in the blood.
Amen.
Yes, sir. And said, two ways met. And notice, had coat changed masters, brother. When they get saved, they change masters.
Amen.
They're put
Amen.
In the family of God, and they can do a work for God.
Amen.
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 Don't ever think one's in sin too deep to get saved.
Amen.
No. Win them. Eric Capace, up in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Some of y'all might know him. At a church up there, a young church. I said, Eric, how long has your church been going? It's about 6 years. I said, how many are you running? He said, 600, 700. He said, I'm going to start a Bible school this next year. He talked to me about coming out there, working with him. The Lord didn't work it out. And he said, I'm going to start a Bible school this year, college next year. He just bought $2.5 million worth of property last year from Southern Baptist. I said, how come he'd buy it? Is it worth it? He said, man, it's awesome. It's worth a lot more than that. I said, how'd you get it? How come you get it? He said, I don't know. I said, I don't know. Well, you got it? I said, God wants you to have it. And he bought it. He bought it. Here's what he said. Here's his motto. He said, win sinners at all costs. Not too expensive to win sinners.
Amen.
Go after it.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, yeah, he said, go after him. What should it profit a man if he shall lose the whole world, or gain the whole world, and lose his own soul?
Amen.
Win him
Amen.
At all costs.
Amen.
So one day, we're going to heaven.
Amen.
Paul said those that he won would be his crown of rejoicing as he goes through the air. Amen.
Amen.
And when we come back, we're going to ride that white horse. Amen.
Amen.
I'm through, brother. Let's bow our heads and pray.
Amen.
Father, take the word. Use it for thy glory. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Speak to hearts tonight, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.